What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Rock Your Brand podcast. Today, we are going to be covering something that is really, really important if you are selling on Etsy and if you are wanting to build a brand on Etsy and off of Etsy as well. It's something that we've been talking about a lot, but there's one key component that people get hung up on, and that is finding a good niche, however you want to roll. All right. So today what we're going to do though is we're going to cover and really share with you five gift niches that will continue to sell now and well into the future. And I'm talking the next 100+ years, probably 1,000 years. It will still be out there, these niches. So that's what we're going to be covering. We all know that the gift mode is being pushed like crazy right now. And actually, it's really come a long way since we announced it of, well, Etsy's announcement, and it's really just evolving and it's really becoming even more user-friendly. So we know that Etsy really wants to push gifts. Now, I'm not saying we have to build our entire brand around gifts, although if we're selling on Etsy, we definitely want to cater to that platform a little bit. And that's why we decided to, well, dive into sharing with you five Etsy gift niches that are going to sell well into, well, the next 100+ years. All right. So Chris, that's what we're going to be talking about here today. And I know that you've got, you've got some things loaded up on over there, but is there anything you wanted to tee up here before we dive into these five niches that are going to be around for the next 100+ years?
I'd say, I think the only thing that might slow that down or stop that is the singularity where, you know, like humans and artificial intelligence combine. If that happens, then maybe some of these niches, nichos, nachos, as our buddy Pedro refers to them, go away. But traditionally, these have been around for hundreds of years. And with gift mode, right, we're able to really double, triple down, even in some of the most competitive ones, Scott. And those are really some of the niches that we chose for this particular exercise. This will work in any niche if you follow the common theme through these five different ones. But realistically, these are the five that we get asked about the most to say, hey, you know, like I'm really passionate about this thing. How do I make it work? And is it still possible to do now that gift mode has rolled out? And if we look through the Etsy seller forum or any, you know, any of the places where Etsy sellers gather together and say, oh, gift mode is crushing my sales. Doesn't have to. And if you're looking for a way to get started, being able to capitalize both on a long-term evergreen niche and capitalize on the extra traffic and a little bit of an extra boost that you can give, that you can get from something coming from gift mode, get the best of both worlds. So if you're still looking for a niche, I know our buddy Pedro said, oh, please give me the niche that I've been looking for. If you're still looking for one or you're looking for a way to figure out how to make your niche more giftable, you'll definitely want to pay attention.
Yeah. And here's what I want to ask first to anyone that is watching this live or on the replay. What niche comes to mind for you? And it could be yours, it could be others, or what are some good niches? Or what is your guess on one of these five? Maybe you'll guess it. I don't know. We'll see. So I'd be curious to know in the comments if you could let us know what your pick is, or if you have any ideas or any niches that you think that would be here for the next 100+ years. So let us know in the comments. All right. So with that being said, though, I did want to give a little bit of an update. We do these live streams every single Wednesday. So if you are not yet subscribed to the YouTube channel, you probably want to subscribe right now. And you probably want to like this video because, well, it'll help us in the algorithm and it'll reach more people. I mean, let me just tell you how it is. All right. So that would be amazing. Obviously, if you're getting value from this, we haven't even delivered value yet, but we are. And when we do, if you would do that, that'd be amazing. But I wanted to give you an update from, well, 2 weeks ago. Actually, I gave an update last week on the update of the week before, but now it's 2 weeks in, I believe, or maybe a week and a half, maybe 10 days. We recently published a video calling out Etsy CEO Josh Silverman. And that video is, well, it's getting a little bit of traction, but I want it to get a lot more traction because we want him or the Etsy team, the board, whoever, we want them to see this video. So let me give you a quick update so you know where exactly we are. And this is all about these accounts getting suspended, getting banned, getting shut down. and not having any support, or you getting something that says, hey, sorry, but we're shutting your account down and you don't even know why. And you could have been selling for years. We need to put an end to that. And the way that we're going to do that is to get Etsy's attention so we can have direct support. So with that being said, let me just give you the numbers real quick. And then if you want to support that little movement, let's call it, of us Etsy sellers rallying together to get the attention. If you want to do that, you can go directly to the video at brandcreators.com/speak. And you can go directly there and leave a comment and like that video. But let me just give you the numbers so far. Right now, we are at 13,100 views. So it's a little lower than I'd like it to be. Of course, I want to get that thing to 1 million views. 1,111 likes and 508 comments. So I want to double that by next week. And you guys can help us by, well, if you haven't watched the video or if you haven't went to the video, go to brandcreators.com/speak. And you'll go directly there, like it, and then leave a comment. And that'll help us boost it in the algorithm. All right. So that's the goal. That's a little update. And that's what we're doing there. If you want to help Etsy sellers really rally together and get Etsy's attention, that's what we need to do. And that's what that video is designed to do. So if you would do that, that'd be awesome. All right, cool. So let's dive in. 5 Etsy gift niches that are going to be here for the next 100 plus years. And you can tap into right now. So let's kick this thing off, Chris. The very first one that I am going to basically talk about, and this is something, again, let me back up a little bit. We're always talking about building a brand. If you are brand new to this channel and to Chris and I and our philosophy, it doesn't matter if we're selling on Etsy, Shopify, eBay, Amazon, doesn't matter. We're always going to be thinking about how can we build a brand. And the brand, what that means is how can we create multiple products that we could sell one customer, and how can we sell to them again and again and again? That's what we're talking about. And so what we need to do is we need to find a niche that is going to allow us to create products in a niche that have a lot of demand, okay? Now, we're not trying to find these little pockets that no one's ever heard of or no one's yet tapped into, because honestly, all the good niches are pretty much already taken. But it doesn't mean that we can't go in there and find a way, because there's also different strategies that we can find sub niches that are in or under the main niche. All right. So once again, these here are going to be here, well, now and well into the future. All right. So the first one is going to be the wedding niche. Now, I know you're going to be saying, Scott, that is so saturated and there's so many people already selling in that niche. It doesn't matter. I want you to pretend that you are going to create a brick and mortar store in your hometown. How many wedding shops are there? Probably not that many. There might be one, there might be two. If there's more than that, well, you're in a town in the wedding town. But there's probably only a couple. And if there are any more, you probably got to go 30, 40, 50 miles away. Okay. But here's the deal. There's a lot of people doing it on Etsy or online. But that doesn't mean that we still can't enter that niche. And the reason why we want to go after these types of niches is because we know that there's solid demand. We know people are always going to be getting married. There's always people that are going to be having a wedding. And there's all of the things that go in with the weddings. I mean, heck, they even have TV shows right now about getting the dress, right? Or having the engagement, or these shows about, well, two couples coming together and getting married without knowing each other. I mean, that's a TV show right now. Love is Blind, I think, is what it's called. Don't ask me how I know. I have a 16-year-old daughter. So it's going to be happening, okay, over and over and over again for years and years and years. And some people are going to get divorced. I know it's going to happen. We don't want it to, but it is. And then guess what? They're going to probably get remarried. Wedding. So wedding is something is never going to go away. And there is always room for more people to sell in that because it's so massive. So Chris, with that being said, let's dive in to maybe an example, and we can show some numbers, and we can also show some ideas of how you would look at, well, putting some products together in this niche. So where do you want to go, Chris, with this? Nope. You're muted.
I found one store that I found through Gift Mode. But before we do that, Scott, one of the questions you and I get all the time about weddings and the wedding niche is weddings or are weddings actually a niche? Because theoretically, you only get married once. And one of the things, Scott, that you and Chris talk about all the time are repeat purchasability. Is there a way for us to sell multiple products to the same customer over time? And I found a few examples of how that would work down the road. But the thing that's really interesting about the wedding niche specifically is when you go to buy one thing for a wedding, a lot of times you're looking for multiple things. And you'll see how this works here in just a second. So even if you don't have a 20-year run with this customer, if you're able to offer a variety of different things in the wedding space, then you're able to create a store in that niche. And even though they might be buying things just for that one day, you get the repeat purchasability, you get the additional adds to cart, you get that higher cart value. And if you do some of the things that I'll show you here in just a minute that I was able to find, you can take it from the wedding day to the honeymoon to the first year, and then maybe even beyond, right, into more of the wedding celebration anniversary space. So I wanted to throw that out,
Chris,
because I know that's a question we get.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to throw in there real quick is, you know, let's say, for example, though, also you're already selling, and let's say you're selling home decor. Okay. And I know Anoush is with us, and I believe it's Boho or one of them, right? So it's a certain mm-hmm. style of home decor. Wedding could also be a sub niche for you because home decor is so broad, right? Then we can go into, like, you've already niched it down to like Boho, let's say. Now we've got like Boho style wedding. And then, so we can still tap into that, even though your whole brand isn't about that. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Anybody that's watching is like, well, this doesn't pertain to me because I'm not in the wedding niche or any of the other ones that we're going to be talking about. But is there a way that you can create a product line that could support this niche? So I just wanted to throw that out because I think that's important to kind of remember as we're going through this.
Yeah. So using Etsy gift mode, Scott, I stumbled upon this little gem here, Lily and Leo. I'm assuming it's Lily and Leo and not Lily and Leo. But if you're hanging out with us, correct me in the comments if this happens to be your Etsy shop. First thing that stood out to me, Scott, is even though they're selling a whole bunch of stuff, they haven't updated their shop banner since Black Friday. again, not the end of the world because they're clearly still making sales. But the way that I found them was through the personalization that they're doing. And that's what really makes this stuff giftable and repeat purchasable. And if we give a quick scroll through here, we can see that they're not just selling one thing. They're selling a wide variety of things. They're selling wedding and bridesmaids pajamas, wedding and bridesmaid jean jackets, camis, sleep shirts, right? A variety of clothing and things that are extremely customizable and giftable within the wedding space. Mm-hmm. Is there anything just looking at this, Scott, that really stands out to you from this example?
Well, they are really focusing on the pajamas or pajamas, however you say it. So they're really going after that. They're going after more like the bridal party angle, fun. You know, the girls are going to get together. I mean, they could even just go into like girls' night out kind of stuff, but they're making it go towards the wedding niche. So they're really, really focusing on that. And look at that Boho tassel robes right there. Look at that Boho tassel robes. That's interesting. So yeah, that's what I'm seeing, Chris.
And this is what really stood out to me here, Scott, is this is a robe that you could have for any occasion, but what they're doing is this is a bridesmaid's robe,
yeah,
right? This is yep. a bridal robe. And they're taking the keywords for their specific niche and they're applying it to their products. And there's three big things that really stand out to me here. And one of the reasons that this popped up in gift mode is that almost everything, if not everything in this store, is personalizable or customizable in some way. Mm-hmm. And everything that they're doing is targeted for group sales, even down to the slippers. If we look at the slippers, yes, they have the bridal fluffy slippers, right? But they also have the bridesmaid slippers. Well, you're probably not just going to buy one pair of bridesmaid slippers. You're probably going to buy a pair for everyone, unless you want a lot of drama on your wedding day, which you probably don't, right? Beyond, you know, the drama of getting married.
The normal drama, right?
And so this is what really stood out to me. And then I ran Everbee. And at first glance, you're like, oh, okay, they have two or three things that kind of sell pretty well. Until we look at the actual numbers here. And if I pull up the full store, we see a lot more of this. But I'm in just that one subcategory right now. So let me go back and go into the product category and sort by revenue.
There we go.
So this is monthly sales for personalizable, customizable bridal party stuff. This is a very small sub niche of the wedding space. And we can see that they have several products that are doing several $1,000s a month. Would you say, Scott, that this is something that is giftable, something that is repeatable, and something that, as long as you have a way of getting into this market, is guaranteed to sell?
Yeah, it's already proven. I mean, look at the demand, right? And I think it's even becoming more in demand to have these types of weddings and to give these certain type of gifts. And the question is, are people going to stop getting married? And the answer is no. So to me, this is just going to, this niche right here is never going to go away. And again, we can still capitalize on certain types of weddings now. And I mean, you can even go deeper and say, okay, we're going to go more for a rustic style wedding. So now we're going to go towards that. Maybe it's farmhouse weddings. And then we're going to start offering signs that are going to be more like that. Or maybe it's, you know, a certain type of decor for that. That's going to be that, or favors, but they're just targeting right now, more or less, like the women that are in the wedding right now, like the bridal parties. So yeah, this is just one small example of what you can do in such a massive niche. And we're just looking at like one shop. And the other cool thing is, and this is what I talk about a lot, is when you're building a brand, is like, are you able to, let's say, for example, you didn't even do this on Etsy and you started your own Shopify store. Could you do that? Of course you could. Could you target people on Facebook that are getting married? Yes. Could you target people on Google that are getting married? Yes. Right. So everything lines up. Can I build an email list? Yes. Like everything is just check, check, check. It's not a one-off sale necessarily. I mean, you would think, well, after they buy the pajamas, what else could they buy? Well, we know they're getting married. So there's all those other things that are either leading up to the day of, or the day, you know, that you're having the wedding, or after the wedding, or maybe their first home, right? Maybe it's the newlyweds. Maybe it's your first year anniversary. And there you go. Look at Chris has already got it.
And so the question that we get, Scott, is always, well, how do we extend it beyond like the bridal party? This is something that would be giftable. And it's not something that people think of necessarily as a wedding gift, because they're like, oh, it's a sign for their house. But this would be something that is really cool to give to a newlywed couple, right? Whether you're giving it to them at the wedding or you're sending it to their house to celebrate their first anniversary or whatever it is, right? And so what we have to then do is say, okay, we're in the wedding niche. What are some other things that would be giftable for weddings? And it's basically anything, right? Barware, signs, anything that they could use that could be personalized would do really well in a gift for a wedding. And all we have to do is do what we just saw in Lily and Leo and change the title to be more geared towards wedding gift. We're probably not going to rank for metal sign or custom metal sign on Etsy,
right?
But we sure as heck still have a chance to rank for personalized wedding gift or personalized wedding metal sign, first house sign, some of those kinds of things. And then, okay, well, what happens after that first thing? Well, then we can go into something like this, right? Which is our first Christmas.
There you go.
Married newlywed gift and ornament.
Yep.
Right. This then takes us out of the strict wedding space and into the happily married niche, right? Our anniversary gifts, our wedding day stuff. And we're able to continue sales to those same customers, be it the bride or the groom themselves, or somebody who's just looking for a gift for that person. And if we look at something like this, even though we're not in the gift giving season or the holiday ornament season right now, we can see that they're doing pretty well, right? They average 243 sales a month on this. Now, most of those are going to be September, October, November, right? Maybe early December. But even averaging that out over the 8 months that this listing has been around, we see 243 sales per month, about an additional, you know, a paltry, Scott, $5,000 a month that is coming into this, which is more than the average person makes in the U.S. in a year. The last time that I looked, I think that was
like, this is 8 months.
50 and 60.
Yeah, this is 8 months old. So I just threw that up on the screen there. If you guys are new and you have not heard of Everbee or tried Everbee, that's the tool that Chris is using right now. That's what we basically use to do all of our analysis and finding our niches, but also like validating our products and everything. So everything that we're doing is using that tool. Yes, this is a shameless plug. If you go through our link, you will buy us a cup of coffee, and we would appreciate that. We love our coffee. But if you want to go to brandcreators.com/Everbee, you can sign up for free. And I believe you get 10 free searches per month on their, I think it's their starter plan. So if you want to check that out, go to brandcreators.com/Everbee and you can sign up there. All right. And get that or try it for free. So Chris, yeah, go back to some of the numbers. I want you to go back to the other one real quick before we move on. So we've got four other niches that we got to dive into. If you go, go to that one. Can you click into that shop? I'm just curious because it says weddings, decor, and more. And I'm just curious.
If you want tips and strategies on how to start, grow, and monetize your business online, check out the Digital Revolution podcast with Eli Adams. We interview digital experts from around the world that share their personal stories. They talk about what they're currently working on and where they see the future going. But most importantly, they share tactics in their specific area of expertise with the hope of helping you improve your digital presence online. You can listen to the Digital Revolution podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, or simply click on the link in the show notes below.
They do a wide variety of stuff, but their whole, and by the way, for everybody who's been complaining about the pop-ups for abandoned carts, they're real annoying. I added some things to my cart as we were going through and finding these examples, and now they're just going to pop up the entire time as we go through these. But we can see a lot of this stuff is not wedding related. So this would not be what I would consider necessarily competition in the wedding niche itself. But we do see some things here that are good additional ideas if we're getting into that space. Everybody talks about bridesmaids gifts. Scott, did you give your groomsmen gifts? Was that a thing?
Yeah.
This is probably the number one groomsman gift on the planet is some sort of a personalized flask, right? It's just the stereotype of a groomsman gift. So we see that, but we also see my new favorite groomsman gift, which is a personalized hatchet.
That's great.
Right. And so we can see that they are doing that. They also do a lot of different signs and things. But even if we find that a shop that is doing well in the space isn't direct competition, and I would say these probably aren't, even though the shop name would imply that they are, we can get some additional ideas out of it.
What kind of sales numbers are on the one that is for the weddings, though? I'm just curious. I saw it was 20 plus cart or in the cart, but
which one we were just looking at?
Yeah, the one you were just looking at. That one. And once again, he's using Everbee to do this, so we're pulling all the numbers in right now. So estimated monthly sales 283, 9,500 sales in 33 months, so almost 3 years. And favorited lot views, reviews. So here's the deal, though. So if I was advising, like this shop, its name is Weddings, Decor, and More. I know they threw the "and more" so they can cover more things, but I don't think they need to. I don't think that they should. Chris, if you go back to their shop, let's look and see what their sales are. I bet you this is one of their top. I'm going to take a wild guess and say that. I mean, 330,000 sales, that's a lot of sales. So maybe I'm wrong. Let's just go ahead and run the whole shop and see what's going on here. Yeah, you're going to pull it from all the stuff. Let's see what we got here. Yep, there's the flasks.
Total sales, right?
Yeah. Flasks are up there. 17,000. There's a guy gift. Okay. Yep. There's flasks again. Okay. And then there's the sign. So yes, they've sold a lot of stuff. Chris, how many total those sales of those have sold those flasks? I'm just curious. Go back up to the top.
Between the two listings?
Yes, you got 30,000. And then what's the other one?
16. So let's call it almost 17,000.
Yes, you got 17,000.
16,500. Yeah,
17,000 just from the flask. And then you got the sign doing almost another 10,000 sales. And there's probably some other wedding gifts in there. So my thing is, okay, have they been successful doing this? I don't know what their numbers are, but you would say, yeah, they've kind of went and did the weddings and more approach. But if this account gets suspended or shut down and they get wiped out, they probably don't have an email list. I would like to have this all built in the wedding niche, so I have that email list, my customer base, and I was able to now take this and build it out outside of Etsy. The other thing is even though that they've sold some of these other products, how much more could they have sold if they really went and dominated the wedding niche and sold more to these wedding customers? That's what I would have liked to have seen. So what do you have here? Just a Christmas.
So even something like this, Scott, which is their second selling product, right?
Yeah.
If we tailored this, like we saw in that ornament, to be a first wedding anniversary or a wedding anniversary stocking, there's the potential that we would maybe not sell $16,000 worth of this a month, but we'd sell a good chunk of this because we see, and this is where people get caught up in the product research. We see that celebrating the wedding day in Christmas decorations is a thing that works. And so if we have something like this and we're in the wedding niche, then we go, hey, let's try that on a stocking and see what happens. And that keeps it inside of the niche. It's something they can hang every year. And we're then able to get the best of both worlds out of that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So, okay. So I guess my point, Chris, to all of this was, yes, this one here is kind of like this brand's probably been around a little while too, but they've kind of went and did a bunch of different multiple niches, but I think that they could have did even better if they went with just the weddings. And, anyone else that's watching, that's, if you're starting now, it's probably not how it was when they started. So being more specific and tailoring yourself to a certain niche is, in my opinion, going to be better and easier for you to build out. And it's going to give you something that you have that you can then build something outside of Etsy, including the email list and including having your own Shopify store when the time is right. So anyway, that's the first one. We got to move on though, because we've got four other ones that we want to cover. Now we're not going to go as deep into all of these. We just wanted to kind of give you the idea, but we will also share some examples with you. All right. So the next one, Chris, that I want to talk about, and I'm sure that people already know because this is another niche that's not going away anytime soon or probably ever, and that is the baby niche. Yes, just plain old baby niche. Well, Chris, let's dig in like we were going to, you know, or like we did with the last one, and let's share an example, but also let's talk through it because baby encompasses a lot, right, of different areas, just like wedding, you know, encompasses a lot of different areas. There's so many different areas for baby and gift giving because gift mode, remember, that's what we're talking about here. What are we able to do and how can we break into such a very, very saturated niche as you would think? So Chris, what do you got for me?
So first, Scott, I think what you're trying to say is first come love, then comes marriage, then comes the baby and baby carriage, right? And what we're seeing and what you guys will notice as we start to go through these is the theme of people will buy this stuff for themselves, but it's not so self-purchasable. Like it's not a weird niche bass fishing rod, right? It's something that you will buy for yourself if you are the customer, but also something that if you're looking for a gift for someone who is in this niche, right? They're getting married. They had a baby that you would come to Etsy, use something like gift mode to find it. And you're going to start to see a theme really pop up here. And this, Scott, again, I found using gift mode by going through their different questions that they ask. And this shop really stuck out to me because again, everything in here is giftable. I'm sure there's one thing, like I said in the last shop, right? Yeah. That only a mom would buy or only a dad would buy. But the rest of this stuff is all extremely giftable. So if your sister, your best friend, your brother, your cousin has a baby, this is a shop you might come to because it's customizable and theoretically, based on the pictures, extremely comfortable, right? So it's something that everybody would have the potential to purchase if they know anyone in the gift space.
And Chris, before you show the numbers here, I want you to run the numbers on this too, but you're going to see with these niches, they're kind of tying together. So we start with wedding, you get married, then we have a baby carriage, right? Like you said, Chris, right? Like there's that. So it's like you wonder, okay, I'm in the wedding niche. Could I ever sell in the baby niche? You kind of could, right? You could because you know that some of those people are going to have kids. So there is a way that you could naturally do that. I'm not saying you'd be a full baby brand, but you definitely know that you have customers that are probably going to have, you know, babies that they're going to be, or going to baby showers, right? And they're going to be buying either gifts or items for themselves. So you're going to see how this is starting to really tie together. So Chris, why don't you pull up some numbers here using Everbee? And guys, if you are just tuning in, we are using Everbee. That is the tool that you're seeing right here. And this allows us to, well, be able to see all these awesome numbers.
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
So just flipping this by total sales, right? We can come through and do this by monthly sales, which is what we typically do, but we're probably going to end up looking at total sales.
Yep.
A custom baby blanket, over the last few years, they have sold 3,075, right? They've made almost $74,000 on that product alone. Do you think that is something that if you're in the baby niche, you should take note of?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? If you have something in your shop that you can customize that would turn it into something more giftable, then you should probably be doing it. And if we're looking through these different examples, they're all essentially variations on the same product. They're different designs or different styles, but they're all around that baby gift or baby pajamas, something comfortable for the baby. So they're really in the baby comfort niche, but it's all designed around customizable, giftable things that, yes, the mom or dad might buy for their kid, but is more likely to come from weird Aunt Sally or whoever else needs to get something or wants to give something just to show their appreciation for the new life that's brought into their family.
Yeah. Chris, on that first one there, go back up on that first one. So that one there, I mean, we're looking at 21,536 sales. How long has that been selling? Can you scroll over to the, well, or you can do that too. You can look at that 7 months. So 7 months, that listing is only 7 months old. It's had 21,536 sales, $73,800 in revenue, and 3,075 monthly sales. And look at the views, 958,917 and favored at 37,604 times. Do you think that there's demand for just baby personalized blankets? Yeah. And you can see right in the top there, baby blanket, baby gift, newborn gift, personalized name, stroller blanket, newborn baby gift, soft, breathable cotton. Okay. Now that last one doesn't really need to be there, but it's there. I'm not going to change it because they're doing like 3,000 sales a month, but you can see what they're leading with: baby blanket, baby gift, newborn gift, personalized name, stroller blanket. Like that's what they're leading with. So is there demand here? Heck yeah. And does that mean that they have that many sales? You can't get any of those. If you created a product that was a baby blanket, baby gift, newborn gift, do you think that you could come up with something that could probably get, you know, a few sales? Probably. There's a lot of sales there. Okay. That's what we call like extremely high demand. And that's just one product. That's just one product.
I'd say that's substantial demand just on this one, right? Yeah. Only $74,000 a month. Let's just say it's on sale for 50% off. That's still 35 grand a month, right? On one product. And what we see here is that they follow a similar theme through the rest of these products. It's all something that either the direct parent or somebody who's concerned or, you know, has an interest in, that sounds weird to say, has an interest in the baby of some sort, be it a friend or a relative, is going to gift to say, hey, I know you're going to need 100,000 blankets. You're going to need all of these different things for different places, like a stroller blanket, a couch blanket, a sofa, like all of these different things.
Yep.
Let's see how many of these that we can build. And they have several of these products that are essentially the same thing, just marketed in a different way that are customizable. that are making $10, $20, $30, $73,000 a month. Yep. And if you're in the baby niche, you need to be paying attention to the reason that these are selling. The reason that these are selling is not because they're the world's best, most softest blanket. Maybe they are, but that's not the reason, right? No. The reason is they are customizable and they are findable in the Etsy ecosystem using something like gift mode by including gift for baby and customizable, personalizable, all of those different keywords that would trigger anybody who's looking to give this as a gift. And if we can get even a small portion of that, then we start that flywheel really rolling.
And I want people to realize this too. Like we said, like our goal is to build a brand in a niche, okay, but have multiple products that that customer could buy. So if someone was going to a baby shower and they wanted to buy this, and then they saw a bonnet that was knitted, would they possibly want to buy that too? Maybe. And if it's there, guess what? It's as simple as adding it to their cart and then they're going to check out with that. Okay. So that's what we're always thinking about. Like this, we're just talking about like one thing. What if we add another product and then another product and another product? I mean, what else could you have? Could you have little booties that are knitted? Probably. You know, could you have, you know, maybe you can also have a, I don't know, maybe there's a candle that is for the baby's first, you know, I don't want to say birthday because that might be too premature, but maybe it's just one that you would have in the home that reminded you of the day that the baby was born, right? Like I'm making up stuff right now, but I would do the research to find what other products potentially are people buying that could be personalized and that would go with that blanket. And then we go from there and we build that product line out. That's what we're always thinking about, because wouldn't it be better? And I guarantee if we were able to look at these, and Chris, can you go back to the shop real quick? And I want to look. Okay, so that's all their stuff. Baby blankets, sweatshirt rompers, sweaters, hooded towels, security blanket, bunny, and baby burp cloth. There you go. Burp cloth. Burp cloth. You know, you've got, there you go. Okay. Hooded towel. Maybe that's one that you would have because they're going to need to take a bath. You always put that on after the bath. So you can put it on them and then wrap them up. Right. I mean, these are great. These are cute. Okay.
And if you had a niece, nephew, is this not something that you would potentially give as a first Christmas gift? Right. Sure. Like what else do you buy a newborn baby for Christmas? Right. Not a whole lot. Right. Yeah. And so it's really more of a gift for the parents. Anyway, you can get their name put on it. Right. It's adorable. It's something that they'll wear for at least a few months because it's going to hang around longer than most baby clothes will. And you're able to give them a really cool experience. And you come out looking like a winner because it's customer personalized.
Yep. Love this. All right. We're going to move on because we got to keep going here. We got three more to cover. So the next one that we're going to talk about here, and this one here, we're going to talk about this one very briefly. And we're going to move on because you're going to see again, how these all tie together, and we don't have 4 hours to go through all of this stuff. But the next one, and this is again, very similar to wedding, but maybe not there yet, or maybe different types of relationships. So I've been seeing people selling jewelry or people selling bracelets, even handmade bracelets for siblings. Okay. So maybe it is going after siblings, mom, daughter, maybe it's father, son, you know, maybe it is within the relationship, could be besties, you know, best friends. So once again, are these ever going to go away? Are you ever going to move away from a sibling and create a, I've seen these sell. That's why I know it's a pillow, a throw pillow that would have your location and then their location and then a map drawn to it with a heart or something, right? That's basically saying like, we're still connected even though we're thousands of miles away. So those are selling very well. So it doesn't have to be just, you know, jewelry, although that does sell pretty well. But relationships, they're never going away, okay? And there's tons of things you can, for the grandparents, or maybe it's the grandmother that has, you know, the garden with the, you know, all of the flowers that are, and we've seen these, that, you know, all the flowers are each one of their grandkids. Another thing for relationships. So maybe you just focus on relationships. And once you get a customer, you can offer them other types of gifts for people in relationships in their life. And we actually had someone recently that we did an Etsy shop audit for, and it was like creating the bracelet and then having, and this wasn't necessarily for relationships. This was for travel, which we didn't even talk about that one. And we're not going to include that one today, but travel's another great niche because everyone's always going to travel. They're never going to stop traveling, although they did during the pandemic, but people are always going to want to travel. And what we said was you have a bracelet, and then for each place that you go, you would have a special charm or you'd have a certain thing marking that area. And this way here, you're always adding on to that bracelet, kind of like Pandora. So relationships, we're not going to go into any examples there just because you get the idea. We're going to share one more real example with some interesting products and how you can really build this thing out. But the other one, the fourth one now, is pets. Let's go through this now. Wedding, people getting married. Baby, after they get married, sometimes going to have a baby, right? Relationships. Those people, they're in a relationship, but they also, well, they might have a sister or a brother or a grandfather or, you know, so you have all of these things that potentially that is also something that they may want. It's kind of like all still tied together. Pets, do newlyweds get a pet? We did. Our first child was a golden retriever. And well, we raised him till he was 12 and a half. Love that little guy. Cody was his name. So pets, big part of our lives. Okay. And now, Chris, let's move on to the last one that we want to share, though, some actual research to kind of validate this. But you guys are getting the idea here, right? How everything's kind of tying together and these things are not going away. The fifth one that we want to share some examples on is spiritual or religion, Christianity. Okay. That there is another thing that's a big part of people's lives. And there's all different beliefs and faith, like everything. Okay. We get that. But there's always usually part of that woven in to people. And that goes with weddings and baby. We have christenings, right? Relationships, boyfriend, girlfriend. Okay. We have pets and we have spiritual faith. So Chris, let's dive into that one because we found some pretty interesting things here that I think would probably blow people's minds that you could actually create a full brand on just that, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah. So Scott, which one here do you want to look at first? Do you want to look at the one you sent me this morning, or do you want to look at the super sub niche of not just artwork, but Bible sketches?
Right? Yeah. Let's go here real quick. I want to save the other one. Cause the other one, I think I totaled it up just to kind of give you guys a little bit of a teaser here. I believe I totaled up their sales. They're about a year old. Their sales were around $45,000 monthly, but they are running a discount. So I took that discount out and I got the average of what their monthly is right now. And I believe it's like $35,000 a month, at least $30,000 a month. So we'll go there and it's all faith-based, but let's go here real quick. Cause this was a very, very interesting one as well.
This is okay. So for everybody who's like, oh, I'm worried about niching down too far with my artwork or my decor style, this I think should be some proof that you don't have to worry too much about it as long as there's some demand there. This entire shop is biblical art sketches. So they're taking either scenes from the Bible or a Bible verse and laying that out in a really cool sketched out way, right? We can see Romans 8 as a kind of like a text design. Or you can get into the, Noah, you know, Noah's Ark, or walk on the water, Peter and Jesus together, you know, walking off the boat, right? Whatever it is, whatever your thing is, they have something here for it, right? We even have let the children come to me, right? So something that would appeal to the nursery or whatever, right? And if we take a look, Scott, at this shop, I'm curious what you think. They are making monthly, selling their digital prints. These are only digital prints.
Which is crazy because that's a whole nother opportunity to offer print on demand. So anyone that's selling digital prints and you're not putting them on a canvas or you're not putting them on in some cases, a blanket or a throw pillow, shame on you because you're probably missing out on a huge opportunity. So we actually did an Etsy shop audit. I think it was, maybe a few months back, but that was part of the advice was like, man, we got to start putting this stuff on some physical items. But anyway, I'm going to guess on this shop. I'm just going to throw a number out there. I'm going to say $20,000 a month.
Yeah, guys, let us know in the comments below
what I don't know, by the way,
your guess is.
Yeah.
And I know you haven't seen this.
No, I have not.
But you're pretty darn close. If we take a look just across a few of their different products, right? We can see the Woman Healed digital print again. Mm-hmm. $11. They're on sale for, I think it was $9.97. So, okay, it's $200 less than this.
Right.
But realistically, these numbers are pretty close. If we look at the sale price, we can do the actual math. But with something like this, if they're selling 300 at a dollar each, let's just take $300 off of that. Their top selling product is doing $2,900 a month. And if it really is a digital print that they're selling, it's essentially all profit, right? Yes, they lose the Etsy fees, but there's nothing to worry about that. And if they're selling this much as a digital item, if they then made this a print on demand piece as a canvas, as a, what's the bathroom hanger, you know, the like wooden boards for bathrooms that we've seen in different places.
Yep.
Maybe even an etched sign or something like that, which is totally doable within the print on demand world. You could add another couple hundred or couple thousand to each of these designs, if not more, because people like me, and this is a question we get all the time, Scott, well, why would I sell both? Because I don't want to go to the trouble of getting a digital file, finding someone to print it for me, going there, getting it printed on a canvas, or finding another website that can print it on canvas for me, pay another $100 or whatever it is to get it printed on canvas, and then have it shipped to me and have to wait again. I'd rather just wait the 3, 5, 7 days to get the thing one time, not have to deal with the extra hassle. Other people, maybe they have a print shop and they want to be able to print this. Maybe they live right up the street, like I happen to, from a photo place that does print on canvas. And I could just walk down there with the image if I wanted to, plug in my USB drive and have them print a canvas for me right there, right?
Yep.
We want to offer both of those versions. But looking through this, they have several that are doing 2,500 to 3,000, and then a bunch more that are all doing $700, $800, $400, $500 a month. And as we scroll down,
it's just, yeah, it keeps going.
It stays at a couple hundred dollars a month for each of these designs, right?
So now, how long have they been selling, Chris?
So it depends on, I knew you were waiting for that answer. It depends on the listing. I'm trying to see here. I can't actually see the little scroll bar on the bottom of my screen. So a lot of these have been around for a while, right? We're saying 107 months. So like 8, 9 years.
Okay.
And they've been selling substantially over that amount of time.
Okay.
Right. And with very
shop page is 107 months.
Yeah. So if we look at these, even the top seller has 27 reviews.
Hmm.
Scott, is that an approachable number of reviews for a product like that? Like, absolutely. Obviously we're not going to go copy this,
right?
But if we're into art, we're into the Bible, this tells me not only is there demand, but there is a very easy way to slide our way in. And we're not going to take all of these sales.
No.
We're going to get a chunk from Bible Sketches. We're going to get a chunk from Sketchy Bible. Probably not what you would want to name your shop if it's Bible themed, but each their own. From modern Bible art, right? We're going to get a few from each of these. And if we have the skills to make these designs, we add in the print on demand angle to this, we can really start to ramp up. We might not be making $20,000 a month, but if we get to $4,000 or $5,000, that's a great place to start. And for most people that we've talked to, that's really kind of their goal at the end of the day, is to make that $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, maybe $10,000 a month. Totally doable, even with just the digital side of this.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, cool. Let's move on to the other one though, because we got to cover that. And we've got a couple of items that we want to cover additionally to this topic. We got some news to cover, but let's jump into the next one. The one that I found that I thought was very, very interesting. There we are.
It's this one, right?
Yep. Sweet as Honey Co. Trendy Christian tees, custom apparel, and more. 25,564 sales. Can you go ahead and run the numbers on this entire shop right now, Chris? And let's see here. You're going to go through all the listings. So Chris, why don't you back up there real quick? Let's do a little tutorial very quick on Everbee. So just what did you just do? So people that are not using Everbee, and if you're not yet, I'm going to throw the link up. If you guys want to try it for free, you can. But yeah, Chris, just show what you just did there. You just did it like everyone knew what you were doing.
Yeah. So if we come in, once you have Everbee installed, if you come into a shop or any listing, you can run the numbers and it'll say analyze listing, analyze product, or analyze shop. And so what you're going to do is click that. But by default, it'll bring up the listings that are kind of on that homepage. So yeah, we 40. Only get a snapshot of what we see of kind of like their 40 ones that are on that homepage view. What you want to do is analyze all listings. The reason for that is that goes through the entire rest of the shop. In this case, there's almost 1,900 listings in the shop. That's a lot of design work. But if we only analyze those first 40, a lot of times those are going to be the newer designs or not the best sellers, because the best sellers they created a year ago and they've reorganized the shop. So we want to get a better view of everything that they've created. And what I typically do is I sort by monthly revenue because I want to see what they're doing, or by monthly sales. And all you need to do to do that is just click on the arrow. By default, it should sort it top to bottom. So most to least. If you don't see that, sometimes it'll, you know, sort and all you'll see is zeros, even though you know that they're making sales. You can just click it again and it'll reorder that for you.
Yeah. So that first shirt is $187 a month, selling for $30. The total sales is $7,672 for the month, and total sales is $2,313. Scroll over to the right if you can, Chris. So that way there we can kind of see. So it's been listing ages 12 months. It's been favorited 8,552 times and 603 reviews. Can you open up that one listing so we can take a look at the actual design itself? So again, Everbee's pulling in all these numbers. That gives us it all like in a nice little box there. Okay, so here we are. So here's what I want you to know though too. Okay, so when I looked at this number, I'm like, okay, it says $7,600 and some odd dollars, right? But they're running a sale, 30%. But what's interesting is that's not the price they're selling it for. Click on select the color, Chris, select an option. And if you click on that, you can't see it.
I don't think that'll actually
show
through the screen.
Yeah, here. But when you click on that, can you select one of the other ones to show the price? Yeah, there you go. Well, that one's 22. I think there was a couple other ones that were more expensive.
They're all 20. Okay, Steel Blue is 29.
Yeah. So my point was, they're probably averaging around $25 a shirt. Is about the even with the 30% off sale. Okay. So
that's the other thing, Scott, that's interesting is when we go into size for any color, that will change. So if we go to a medium, which is a safe assumption, right? Because large, extra large, those are all the same as medium or higher. It jumps to $29.74, even on the white, which should be the least expensive, theoretically, right? Because it's the most common. So we see that price starts to jump. So I think you were going somewhere with Everbee numbers and the way that you calculated what this is making.
Yeah. And so if you looked at like what it's selling for, like it says $30, it's about right. You know, so this number is pretty close. So even if we called it $7,000, right, and sold 187 of these, this is just one item that is, again, Christian. Okay. So it's like, it's looking at the Christian buyer. Okay. And if you're a Christian and you buy one of these or get it for a gift for someone, do you think that you probably are too, or that you know other people that are, and that maybe in the future you're going to buy them another gift? So this right here to me is a great example of how you would build a customer base, add more products that they could buy in the future. And I would probably look at this and then I would look at that Bible sketch shop and I'd go, can I incorporate some of that stuff in my shop too? Because maybe I'm not just going to want to sell shirts. Although some people say, like, how do you compete with shirts when everyone's selling them for $10? They're doing okay, right? They're doing okay. Now their designs are good. You know, their designs are really unique. They're really good. So yes, you might have to either hire someone to do a design for you, or you have to get good at design. Okay. But yes, this is a really, really good design. Chris, go to back to the store again, if you can. And I just want to kind of just, we'll just scroll through some of the other ones and then we can move on. But yeah, so if you look at some of these other ones, like, and again, though, wait, Chris, time out. Boho Christian. And we talked about that earlier. It's like, we went with a certain style of decor or design and we said, oh, we're going to create a Christian shirt for someone that's into boho. Okay. And then there, what's that? Stay Salty Bible verse. Okay. So that's another one here. That's $42. That's crazy.
Only another $4,000 a month coming into the shop.
Yeah.
Ignore all those pop-ups that we get, right? Yep. 20 plus in carts, mm-hmm. Scott. And again, this $29.74 is their sale price on this. But when we actually come in and we start looking at the medium, right, that jumps to $32. Mm-hmm. And then if we want any of the weirder colors, that'll jump a little bit. But let's call this $32 or $33, mm-hmm. assuming that every sale they make is on sale, right? Yep. So let's call it $32. Somebody in the comments can do the math here for me really quick. But what is this? Monthly sales, $81. So that's, I don't know, $2,600 a month, give or take.
Yep.
If everything they sell is on sale. And this, Scott, I think proves the point that you and I have about clothing. People say all the time, and you brought this up a minute ago, how do I compete on price with a onesie? How do I compete on price with a t-shirt? The answer is, yeah, don't. When you niche down and you create good designs, you can get out of that flywheel of trying to compete on price, and you can charge a price where you make money. And as long as you're offering a good quality product with a design people are interested in, people are a lot less price sensitive than you think they are.
Yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. All right, cool. So I think that's going to wrap up our five niches that we wanted to share with you for gift giving and gift mode that has been now really being pushed by Etsy. But let me just kind of recap on those niches. Okay. So the first one we talked about was the wedding niche. And again, you can pick any angle that you would want, but that's just an example of one. Okay. The second one is the baby niche. The third is relationships. And the fourth is pets. And fifth is spiritual. Okay. So all of those, and I think you would agree, are probably never going to go away ever. Okay. People are going to always be getting married, always be having babies, always in relationships, always have pets, and always going to probably be chasing some type of faith or interested or practicing a certain religion. Okay. And so that's always going to be here. It's never going away. You know, AI is not going to take having weddings away. Okay. Just isn't. Okay. Not going to for babies either. Relationships, pets, spiritual, probably not. Okay. So that's why these here are fundamentally sound and they're going to be here forever. Okay. At least I think so. So hopefully that was helpful. If you guys have any other niches that you think are really top level, big, they're never going to go anywhere, drop them in the comments and maybe we'll do a follow-up and we'll add another three, maybe five. And then this way here, we can kind of go through some more of this, product research and things like that. And also, would you like us to go deeper into some more product research? Maybe even dig a little bit deeper into one of these niches. We enjoy doing it, so we wouldn't mind doing it at all. Let us know in the comments. Chris, do we have any quick questions on that before we move on? We've got two other topics that we've got to cover. There's some news we want to cover. And we want to make sure that we do that. So is there any questions or anything that came in that we need to address? And oh, wait a minute, Chris, before we do, though, I know that some people are also going to want to know, okay, well, how do I even get started with any of this stuff? Well, number one, we talked about Everbee. I would definitely make sure that that is your number one tool because that's the only tool that we use. And when you're doing niche research, product research, Everbee is the one. So brandcreators.com/Everbee, and you can try it for free. Yes, you'll buy us a cup of coffee if you go through our link, and we would appreciate that. The other thing is, if you're brand new or you just want some more direction, we do have a complete guide. It's free. It's called the 100K Roadmap. And it's really us retracing our steps, my wife starting her shop and then building it to $100,000, and really how we were able to do it, building a brand just like we talked about. If you would like a copy of that, just put in the comments roadmap. All right. Put roadmap in the comments and we'll make sure that we send that off to you. All right. That you get access to that. All right, Chris, now that I got that out of the way, is there any questions that we need to address before we move on?
We had one, and I want to give it a shout out to Ola Little One, who said, I've been around for a little while, so I've used E-Rank, Marmalade, and even some of the Amazon research tools. Everbee is the most intuitive to use, and I like how it lays out the data. It's one of the reasons we like it. One, it's built right into the search results through their extension. Yeah. So you're just like, oh, I want to know the numbers on that. And you click in, you get all of the meta information about the listing. You get the keywords that they're using, the tags that they're using. You get to see how they built that listing. And the key piece of super nerdy information that they calculate for you is that conversion rate. So if you're looking at a listing that's competitive to yours, you get to very quickly see, are they doing better or worse on that front? And is there a lesson I should learn from this listing? Scott, we had a couple people who were asking, what if I'm not passionate about one of those niches? And I think the whole point of this was you can make any niche, even the most competitive niches, something more giftable by adding in a little bit of personalization, by thinking about a way to turn a product in that niche into something someone else could gift. Yes, a lot of those things are going to be things that people buy for themselves, the baby blankets, the bridesmaids things, but the maid of honor could also buy the slippers for the bride, right? Yeah. The bride could buy it for all of the people in the bridal party, but anybody there could also buy it. Aunts, uncles, cousins can buy the baby stuff, right? So we're opening that up to a lot more people. You're adding in the customizable angle, and that will help you make the difference.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you have to start with, okay, what is something that you could see yourself building a business in or brand in? And generally try to find those buckets, right? Where is the bucket of, you know, that really incorporates into the world that we live in? Right. And trying to find those buckets that, you know, are going to allow, like, I'll give you another example real quick is like, if your kids are into sports, then maybe you're going to do youth sports stuff, right? You know, that sports is probably going to be around forever. You know, people are going to be having kids. They're going to have kids in youth sports. So then you're going to then say, okay, youth sports. And then you're going to be like, okay, is there, you know, people selling stuff for softball, for little league, for lacrosse, like soccer, like all of these different things. And then you would go there and you could build that out. Now, is that going to be as big as weddings? Probably not. And is it as giftable? Maybe not. But that's how I would approach it. Okay. And you do have to ask yourself, you might be excited about something, but there's not a lot of demand for it. Probably not going to be a good business model. So you have to think about it before you actually get started. And in that guide, that roadmap, we do go through a little bit of like how you do that. Also, if you guys liked this stuff, we have more videos on the YouTube channel. You should make sure that you subscribe. Also, if you got value from this video, make sure that you like it. But we have a video that we did, a training that we did a few months back that actually shows us finding three products that are in niches that are doing $1,000 plus per month. So sometimes it's just good to see how you drill in if you have a niche and kind of see if there's enough demand. If you want access to that, just put in the comments products. Just put products in there and we'll make sure that you get access to that video. Okay. All right, Chris, with that being said, let's go ahead and let's dive into some of those other topics. We have two topics that we want to cover to make sure, because it's pretty exciting stuff. So here we go. The first thing that I want to share is Etsy launches an SEO little test that they are going to be experimenting with select sellers. Now, what am I talking about? What are they going to do? Well, they just came out with, well, some people are experiencing it. And that is, they're going to be taking your title and they're going to be tweaking it without you even knowing it. Should we let them do that? Is this going to be good? Is this going to hurt us? Is this going to help us? You would think it's going to help us. Well, Chris, I know that there's an article that was published on it, and I want to dig in and hear the nitty gritty here. Is this going to be even beneficial? Is this going to be a disaster? And I'd like to know your thought, Chris, the SEO nerd that you are. So can you pull that up?
So this is something that popped up over the weekend. I started seeing some people talking about it inside of the Etsy seller forum on Thursday, I think is the first time I saw the post. Mm-hmm. And then our friends over at Auction Bytes, which is part of the e-commerce Bytes website, posted this article. They kind of correlated and organized some of the thoughts from people. Basically, what's happening, Scott, is Etsy, at least for now, was telling people that they were opting them into this. And that they're allowing them to add in an optional test from April through July. So if you didn't get an email or a notification about this, then you're probably not involved in this test. Unlike one of the other ones that they rolled out last week, where mm-hmm. the images on the search page, you could like scroll through. That kind of disappeared on me, I think, this morning as of the time of recording this. But who knows if that'll be back. This one, they reached specifically out to invite sellers into the test. And what they're saying is they're going to run a test where their AI takes your title and will rewrite certain parts of it to optimize the listing for shoppers to see you and your ads. They're going to be making tweaks to a few different things, and they specifically call them tweaks. So they're implying that they're not rewriting the entire thing, but they're saying, hey, you know, we're going to remove some typos, anything that's redundant, which you shouldn't be including anyway, at least if you read through their documentation or listen to any of our rants on SEO, you don't need to. And they're going to kind of reorganize that. And if we scroll down a little bit here, they get a little bit further into some of the examples, which are, we might add gift for her at the end of the title if we think that it's appropriate, or we might move some of the promotional things or unnecessary adjectives, repetitive things to simplify the title to make it more human readable so that it ranks higher in offsite channels. Now, obviously, Scott, this is starting as a small beta test, but would you feel comfortable letting Etsy come in and play with your title?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I'm curious also, we had Art by Flynn post in the comments that they got invited to this. And I'm just curious, Art by Flynn, if you can in the comments, let us know how you were invited. Was it an email? Was it a direct message? I'm just curious. I have not been yet invited. But if you would let us know that in the comments, then that would be helpful for anyone else. But I would say, I mean, Chris, I personally think yes, like it would be great, because I'm like, well, I mean, let's face it, Etsy's going to do what's best for Etsy. But then in the same breath, I'm like, it's probably their AI. And do I trust their AI after the mock-up disaster that happened? I'm not quite sure. So I think right now, I probably personally would not let them, especially on a product that's doing well, because I don't want to disrupt that. And I have a feeling that even though they're saying like, well, we're going to do what's best, who's to say that the algorithm is going to jive with it? I don't know. There's a lot of unknowns there. I think I'd rather have other people test it and then let me know how it works.
Yeah. The question in my mind would be, how much is a tweak? Right. Mm. If all we're doing is getting rid of some of the redundancy that doesn't need to be there, and the algorithm saying, hey, I don't need you to say blanket and comforter and fuzzy thing to keep you warm in right. the title. I'm just going to simplify it to blanket, because the algorithm understands that people searching for it, even if they search for comforter, will probably understand that, and the conversion data supports it, then great. But what I would like to see is a suggestion. And Scott, you may remember a few months ago, they started really giving the tag suggestions for tags you could add. That approach I like, where they're saying, hey, look, here's your title, here's what we suggest, and then here's what we think might be the lift from that. And that's something that Amazon has started to do really well. They say, hey, if you increase your ads budget by this, here's, based on your data, what we expect your sales lift to be. If we saw something like that, where they're saying, hey, if you let us rewrite your title this way, one, you still have the choice, but they're still making the recommendation. Two, they show you the data that supports it, and they don't have to show you the algorithm or bare the soul of the algorithm to you to be able to do that. They're saying, hey, look, if we add gift for her based on your conversion rate and the number of views we think that will add, here's the sales increase that you might see, and then give me a button to change it. I can always change it back. But if it's just changing it in the background and it doesn't actually change it on the listing itself, then I feel like I've lost control over that. Especially if it's a well-selling product. If it's a product I'm struggling with, they can play with the title all they want. But if it's not, I would still want to have the manual control. And I think they can do that in a seller-friendly way by doing what I just said, which is, here's the ideal way to rewrite this based on your listing. click the button to accept it. And then 3 months go by and they say, hey, we figured out this is what is now optimal. Do you want to change it? Click the button and go from there. Now, at scale, that becomes a little bit of a pain in the butt. But if they send you, you know, a weekly roundup or give you a little place in the dashboard to go through your titles, they could make that a little bit easier. You get all the benefits of the AI and it stays seller friendly. Would you be more open to that as an option where you're just saying, yeah, do it?
Yeah, of course. You know, I think it's kind of like right now, even with like YouTube, you know, I believe they have it rolled out to most YouTube channels where it will give you suggestions for titles that you can rewrite it using AI. And I know that there's plugins now that have already done that for a little while, like vidIQ and things like that. And we're talking YouTube. But I would like something like that. I would like it to give me a suggestion like it did with the tags. And then I can say to approve it or not versus them just running random tests on switching stuff in and out and me not knowing about it. I do think that for a new shop, it's probably okay. But I'd say for a seasoned account that has a really good listing or a really good product and you don't want to mess with it, you should have the option to not let it be, you know, run through the test. Maybe that's the other thing. Maybe you can select the ones that you're okay with them testing, you know, new titles. And then maybe they give you some type of analytics that say, when you had it like this, it did this. When you had it like this, it did this. Now we're talking, but we're also talking about Etsy here. They're a little bit behind on their stuff. I just want to be honest. They're a little behind on some of their features. So I'm not quite sure that that's actually going to happen, but if they're just going to randomly switch up whatever they think, I'm not a fan of that, I would say. And I would, I just wanted to share here real quick. Suzanne says, nope, don't do it. Last time I was invited into an Etsy beta test, it tanked my shop. I'm a long time 1% seller. So yeah, I wouldn't want to monkey with it either if there's an issue there.
Well, that's Elysian said, you know, they run dozens of tests every quarter and they do. Some of them are opt-in. Some of them are site-wide, like the image one that we were talking about, but they keep what works, right? Like Etsy's always going to do what's best for Etsy. And if this is something that works, then they may just roll it out and not tell anybody. So by talking about it, hopefully we put some feelers out into the ether to say, hey, even if this is the ideal way of doing this and you see a lift, don't just go rewrite people's titles. Give them that option or show them the reason why they should change it. And Scott, I like the thing that you just pointed out a lot, which is give us the opt-in. Just like with Etsy ads, with the exception of the offsite stuff, you know, we opt in for which listings we want to be included in Etsy ads. Give me the opt-in. And anybody that's been in on this beta, let us know if that's how it worked. Art may have some insight into that, where I'm like, okay, these three or four are struggling. Go play with these. But I'd still want to, at the end of the day, have the control of the push button to say, all right, if you're sure that one's better, change it on the listing and then be done with it. I wouldn't want that constantly being tweaked, whatever Etsy is calling it, a tweak.
Yeah. Yeah. I would be curious too. In the comments, let us know, would you let them run wild and just do tests on your behalf without letting you know? Or would you rather them not do that? Or do you have any other ideas on how they could run these tests to help us Etsy sellers have better SEO? So I'd be curious on that. But I would say in the meantime, you know, make sure that you get your listings optimized, but don't worry too much about SEO changing everything every day and doing all this research. If you're finding that your product that you're going after, that you're trying to sell, it has two or three main keywords, that's really all you need, okay? And any of the additional stuff is just extra. So anyway, that's what I would say about that. Don't know what's going to happen. I'd be curious to see what you thought. So leave that in the comments and let us know. All right, Chris, let's move on. We've got one more that we want to share here. And this is interesting as well. Etsy is about to deactivate thousands of accounts, and they are talking about how they are going to do it. Now, why would they just randomly want to deactivate accounts? Well, Chris, I know that you found the report on this, the article, And I think it's interesting, and I don't think it's such a bad idea as long as they share with us, well, they give us a warning if they're going to maybe close one of our accounts. And I think that's the key, one of our accounts, if you have multiple accounts. So Chris, what does this mean? What's happening? Are they just going to, you know, all of a sudden just deactivate your account? Although they have been known to do that, but what's going to happen here?
I think Scott, this is actually a little bit of a reaction to that particular issue,
as well as
a few of the other things. So if you guys don't know, they put out monthly announcements, and one of the monthly announcements they made in their April announcement, you can find it right inside the seller forum. We don't like to go there because you have to be logged in. So I like to find another place that's reporting on this so that we can share it with all of you. In this case, it comes from our friend Liz over at Value Added Resource. And the striking headline, Scott, is Etsy to deactivate inactive shops, plus changes to delivery estimates and gift messaging. We're not going to dive into the second half of that because we've covered some of these things in the past. But the key here is that they are deactivating accounts. Now, they're not just going through and deactivating anything that they feel like, at least as a part of this particular initiative.
Right.
What they're really looking at are older accounts that have been inactive. And what they're really looking at here are things that have been inactive for 4 or more years. Mm. And they're trying to get people just to log back into it. Because this, along with all of the other weird frauds and scams that have been going on, is a huge vulnerability for people. What you may not know is places get hacked all the time, right? Be it Etsy, be it anywhere else. And if they know what your email address is, and they can get your password that you've used other places from another hack that's open, they can go to Etsy, they can put in your email address and just try a few of the passwords or use AI to guess based on the way that you structure your passwords. Unless you're using truly random passwords, which most people don't do, they'll have a password that's like to log into Etsy, right? And if they look in their little database of hacked files, they can see that your password for Facebook is to log into Facebook, to log into Gmail, to log into Instagram. They go to your Etsy shop, they go, oh, I can get this account. So if they're looking to do something bad, that's an easy way for them to gain access. What Etsy's trying to do is get rid of things people are not actively logging into to avoid them being used as part of fraud or scams. Plus, it frees up some space for them as well. And what they're really looking at here, Scott, is things that are 4 years or older, mm-hmm. that have not been logged into for a while. And what they're saying is they're going to nudge people to log into their account to keep it open. And they're going to give you a heads up 90 days before that account goes inactive, completely and is closed forever. They're also going to send multiple reminders before they change anything to their account, whether that's an email a day or 3 emails total over those 90 days. We don't know. But all you have to do once you get that notice is log in, and they will keep that active. Once they make it inactive, or once that 90-day period passes, it is closed permanently on the seller side, but the buyer side of that account will remain open for you to be able to make purchases. And I think we covered a story last week of an Etsy seller who had an old account that he didn't even know existed anymore. Mm-hmm. Ended up getting everything shut down because there was a $7 balance on it. They came through all of his new accounts and did that. This, to me, is a nice way of helping everybody who's currently selling, making sure that they have at least logged into those accounts and they're aware that they exist. And then if they're going to shut those down, that is something you're going to want to keep an eye out on, because if they shut it down and it has a balance on it, there's the potential that that same thing will happen. So keep an eye on your emails over the next few weeks to make sure you're not getting one of these notifications from Etsy. Because if they shut it down, there's a balance on it, we run that risk. If you have an old account, then you're at risk of that being hijacked and something weird happening as well. So just keep an eye on that inbox. You should be getting an email from Etsy if you have an old account. If you don't get one, then you probably don't have an old account tied to any of the emails that you're looking at.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point to bring up. I mean, they're doing this and it sounds like they're giving, we're going to be able to, see, you know, exactly like, oh, they're going to be closing down, you know, our account. Well, you're getting the warning, but the one thing that surprises me and shocks me is that they're doing this, but yet there's an account that has a $7 balance, and I'm bringing up Vlad from the guy that we talked about that got shut down, who has done over, I think it's 120,000 sales and got shut down just before Q4 of this last year and probably lost over $100,000 because he had one account that he had set up a while ago and ended up not selling anything through it. So he just kind of let it sit there and it had a $7 balance. And because that account was tied to his name, they just decided one day to just wipe all the accounts out and just shut them all down. So this just is surprising to me that they're like, oh, we're going to give you 90 days. We're going to this. Why wouldn't you have reached out, or anyone for that matter, not just Vlad, but anybody that has an account that's going to get shut down because of another account? Don't you think they would try to connect through that other account saying, just to let you know, we're going to shut this account down in the next 7 days if you don't pay the balance on this account that you're tied to? That seems like obvious. We're not going to go there. But what I would do here is remind you that if you have not yet watched the video that we did, that is, it's really specifically tailored and designed to hopefully get the attention of Josh Silverman, the CEO of Etsy Sellers. So this way here, we are heard about getting shut down for just no reason, or a reason of a $7 thing on an account that's not even being used, but I got other accounts that are doing really well. So if you have not yet watched that video, or if you have not yet signed it, because we're kind of looking at this as like a little petition in a sense, but if you want to do that, I'm going to go ahead and pop that up on the screen right here. It's brandcreators.com/speak. And if you go there, you can watch it, you can like it, and you can comment on it. And that's how you can help other Etsy sellers, be heard. So if you have not yet done that, please do that. But I think this is a good thing as far as them deactivating some old, outdated accounts that aren't being used, but they are given plenty of time. So just make sure if you do have an account, make sure it's up to date. And if you don't want that account anymore, maybe just put it in vacation mode or something like that. That way there, at least they know you're not selling through it, but it's on vacation mode, and maybe do that. All right. So that is what we would do if, we had other accounts and we didn't want to get shut down permanently. All right, Chris, do we have any other bits of info that we need to cover? Anything we need to update people with? Or are we good?
I think that was pretty much it for today. If you're worried about getting shut down through this, remember, these are for accounts that are 4 years, haven't been logged into in several years. I think it was four or more. And all you have to do to keep that account active as a seller account is log into it anytime after they start sending out those emails. So if you want to log into it like today, or just go through that old like weird password notebook that you might have somewhere, just to see what other Etsy accounts you may have created in the past, go through, log into them, check if they're there. If it is something that you want to keep, then keep it. If it's something you want to close, make sure the balance is zeroed out and then close it yourself, or just put it in vacation mode, Scott, to your point, and let it sit for now. Just make sure that you don't have any balances on those things. That's really the trigger that I would be looking for at this point.
Yeah. We had a quick question here. Next audit video day. If you guys are brand new and you don't know what the Etsy shop audit day is, Chris and I have been doing a batch recordings of Etsy shop audits that we post here on the channel individually, but we record them beforehand. We are doing them about once a month right now, and we do three at a time, and we do them for our Backstage Pass club. If you would like to be part of that club, you can go to brandcreators.com/club and you can get the information there and you can sign up. Or you can just, if you're on YouTube, you can just click join and you can get the information there. There's a little video that maybe a minute and a half video that I share exactly what that looks like. But the next date has not been set yet, but we are probably looking at the tail end of this month or the beginning of May. That would be May. But we might be doing one at the end of the month, but we got to look at our dates yet. But it'll definitely be in the next 2.5 to 3 weeks, most likely. So we'll keep you posted on that. All right. And while we're on it, if you guys, what else did I cover here? Oh, I know. I've got something else I wanted to share with you. Something brand new that we're going to be doing starting this Friday. And it's something that we don't know how it's going to go, but it's something that we have had some requests for. And that is, could we talk more about things outside of Etsy? Maybe TikTok shops, other e-commerce things. And so what we decided to do was on Fridays, we're going to be reporting some e-commerce news, things that aren't just Etsy. Some might be Etsy, but most likely it's going to be outside of Etsy. And we will be talking about maybe Temu, things that are happening there that we have to be aware of. Maybe it's, maybe it is TikTok shops. If you guys have any other items outside of Etsy that you want to hear about or you want to stay up to date on, let us know. Because Fridays are going to be another live that we're going to be doing, but it will not be tailored towards just Etsy. It will be more on the e-commerce side. So we're going to test that out for several weeks, and we'll let you know how it goes. But if you'd like to hang out with us for another hour or so, that'll be on Friday. Again, it'll be noon Eastern time. So yeah, it's going to be something we're looking forward to, because we're always up on the e-com news. At least we try to stay on top of it. All right. And then the last thing that I would say is, if you want that roadmap, the 100K roadmap that I talked about, all about building a brand, the things that we went through, we kind of retraced those steps. If you would like a copy of that, just put roadmap in the comments and we'll make sure that you get a copy of that. And then the other thing is, if you have not yet watched the video and liked it and commented on it of the Etsy sellers speak out, getting attention from Etsy themselves, make sure that you do that. And you can go to brandcreators.com/speak. And you can go on over there and let your voice be heard. And that'll help everyone, because if we can get the attention, and man, oh man, if we can get this video to pop, there's a really good chance that we'll get some attention. And then we can talk to someone. And then we can say, hey, can I get you on? Can we talk to you? Can we kind of like let the board of Etsy know like what we're concerned with? Maybe. So that's kind of what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to that video to pop. And the way it's going to pop, you guys. All right. And you're going to have to help us by liking it, commenting, and sharing it. Because it really is about getting that video to get attention of Etsy, the CEO, and anyone else that's involved. All right. So with that all being said, guys, I want to say thank you so much for hanging out with us. Let us know also if this was helpful, if you guys got value today. If you did like it, that would help us out in the algorithm. Leave a comment. Let us know if you have any other niches that we might have missed or ones that we should talk about in the future. And anything else that you need help with, let us know in the comments. And also this Friday, make sure that you subscribe to the YouTube channel. That way there you're notified when we go live. All right. So that's it, guys. That's going to wrap it up. As always, take care, take action, have an awesome, amazing day. We'll see you right back here on the next episode. Take care, guys.